I was saying, I'm so all over the place with my notes. If you can see my notes, he goes, you have chicken scratching everywhere. And I'm like, I know. I keep thinking of more and more, and God is just so good. So, but I am going to have Tammy come share. This week has been pretty incredible because I feel like God has showed me. I'm getting hollow. Am I hollow or I'm good? I felt like God was showing me something about the church. And I've had several people talk to me, and they're all talking about what I want to talk about. So I was like, maybe I shouldn't be talking. Maybe they should be talking. So actually, Tammy came to me this morning, and I really want her to share what God showed her.
Good morning, people of God. Right. How's everybody today? Are you excited about what God's doing?
Amen.
Amen. Oops. I am too. Tell my people I have heard their cries. I will do a new thing. You will not perceive it. Turn to me and you will see. The magnolia blossom is in bloom. When I first read this, my first thought was, what is the cry of your heart? What miracle do you need today? And then I was a little bit alarmed because when he said, you will not perceive it, I thought that was really a hard word. So I looked it up. And it says, what I learned was the example that they used was, this man is disabled. And it says, if you do not see yourself as disabled, no one else will. I was really excited because several years ago, there were many prophecies spoken over this place, and some people did not believe that it was this place any longer. But you know, the Lord showed me as I sat there before the word even came, I saw a magnolia blossom and it was open. So I just want to encourage you today. This is what the Lord told his people. He said, God told the people, he says, to bloom where they were. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those, he says, I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. The bloom biblical meaning is about our hearts and being reconciled relationship between us and God. God desires to heal us, to forgive us of our sins when we repent, and to love us. And because of Jesus, that is possible. So I just want to encourage you today. I'm excited because the Lord gave me a vision for this place when I first came here, and I lost that vision. But I continued to pray because I knew God was going to do something. And you know what? It's unfolding right now. I just want you to know that.
You know you're a powerful church, right? I love it. You know you're full of love, right? Full of joy, full of peace, full of strength. I was thinking, I heard Bruce's message, and I was just thinking about the church unit, the church body, us, you know, the church of Christ. And I was like, wow, what a powerful unit we are. What a powerful group of people that God has made us. And do we see ourselves like that? Do we come to church just to do church? Just to sing songs? Just to go sit? I clocked my time in at church. Or do you know that you're a powerful person? And that should excite us. We're blooming. And I believe that's a word for us today. I believe that God is giving, starting something new here. And it might not sound like anything new, but there's something different happening here. Can you feel it? Who can feel it? There's a new life here. It's just different to me. And I feel like God is wanting us to step in to the power, to who he's called us to be, to who he's called us as a group to be, to who he's called us as a body of Christ in the world. I think you're going to start seeing changes in the church. Now, I was reading some statistics, and they're saying churches are closing left and right, especially after like COVID. People aren't wanting to go anymore. And I was like, have we lost who we are? Have we lost the vision, like Bruce was talking about last week? Have we lost who we are and who we know we are called to be? And I was like, because when I come here, I don't come here to sing song. I come here to release what he's given, or what we're singing, what somebody's telling me. It doesn't matter. I know that God is flowing through me. I know these words are going into the atmosphere to make changes, to shift the atmosphere. Do you know your words do that? Right? You are so powerful. Just saying the name Jesus in your situation invites him into it. So that's why I was so excited. Last week, Bruce talked about the principles of ministry and how each of us have passions and desires in us, and I believe in us collectively. And just, he was calling us out to get started, right? Get involved. He said there was activation, and he talked about Jesus calling the disciples. He talked about engagement, following. Just following, going, learn. You will learn. You will learn that who you are and who you bring to a situation, or what you bring to a class, what you bring to a service, what you bring to a prayer meeting. You'll learn. Equipping. There's so much equipping that happens. He talked about the Word of God being the equipper. You know, and he talked about, and I'm going to read the same verse, about the apostles, prophets. He gave us gifts to equip us, to equip us for works of ministry, not to watch them do it all, right? And do you know that we equip each other constantly? Empowerment, we empower each other. And we're sent with authority. You guys, you are not here by accident. You are not here by accident. God has a plan and a purpose for you here. And I don't know if you have ranked in your mind what's better or not better. You know, is speaking the ultimate position? Now it is a heavy one. And I don't take it lightly myself, and I necessarily don't really like it. But I know God has called me to it. So I try to obey when I can, you know, when I can come in and speak. But our passions and desires, we all have those. What's inside of you to bring here, to bring out here? Because God's kingdom wants to come to earth. And what you bring is so vital to this place or to your family. What you bring. Don't think about, oh, I don't have much to bring. What you bring, it might be just one word. It might be a smile. It might be a hug. It might be you just talking to someone who doesn't, that people don't like to talk to, or whatever it might, you just don't know. Bringing a glass of water. We are family. We learn so much in family, don't we? I can think of all the things that I've learned having a family and being a part of a big family. I'm from seven. And it's, you learn so much. We help each other do life, don't we? To live victorious. So I want to go to Ephesians 4. And you're going to have to, you're going to get some Bible reading in today, okay? I think I'm going to start at verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. Is it okay? Oh. Okay. This will continue, the equipping will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will be influenced. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from life, from the life God gives because they close their minds and harden their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Amen, right? That's a lot. And so I kind of want to unpack it and tell you what I feel like God was showing me. The first thing that I wanted to go into was the unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son. He talked about being equipped. Let me get back to where I was. Okay, the equipping will come from the prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers to build up the church. Until we come to such a unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son. We're all joined together in what we believe and in what we know about Jesus. That's what happens. We join together about what we believe and what we know about Jesus. Jesus is our standard, right? Jesus came to not only bring us salvation, but to reveal the kingdom of God to us so that we could bring the kingdom to earth. So when you have a body, for me, when we come to know who Jesus is, right? And we come to love Jesus, and we come to all start thinking the same way, where we are so in love with him. And we've already had two words spoken already. Brenda spoke on abiding. To me, this is abiding. Abiding in him. Letting him make his home in us. And then we had Kenzie talking about being intertwined. That the waiting on God, you become intertwined with him. And that, I think, is one of the beliefs that we have in this body that we can all agree on, is we want to abide in him and him to abide in us. And everything that we do, whether it's prayer, whether it's class or studying the word or youth, it's about abiding. It's about knowing him and knowing Jesus's ways. And I believe this year is going to be exponential in knowing who Jesus is, because we all agree that we want to know him more. Who wants to know him more in healing? Right? I want to know him more in how he moves, how hearing his voice. Just knowing Christ together. And that's when we come together, that's what it is all about, is knowing Christ. I have a few scriptures just talking about abiding. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you have to do anything to bear fruit? Remain in him. Right? If you remain in him, you will bear fruit. And Bruce has been saying, this is a season of fruit. You're going to see things happen in your life. If you believe it, or if you see it and believe it, you're going to see it happen. I'm telling you, there's been goofy things happening to me, but I've been just kind of stepping out. My refrigerator has been going crazy. Last night, I was trying to just write down some things. It starts going, and I said, you know what, refrigerator? I command you to stop and function how you're supposed to function. And I kid you not, within like 2 seconds, it stopped. And I was like, oh boy. Now, I know that's just a fun one, but I'm telling you, if you start believing what he says about you and put it in your mouth and say it, speak it, declare it, it's going to happen. 1 John 3:24 says, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that abides, or wait, we know this, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. We know this. Holy Spirit lives in you. He's been working on me with separation issues. I have separation issues. No, I don't, not really. But I do recognize when I start saying something that I'm like, oh, I'm saying that you're not here by me saying that. He's starting to show me. He's always with me. He's always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He abides in you, and you abide in him. John 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's a different level in the realm for me. But I want my words, and I believe our words are going to line up with his. His words are going to come in, and we're going to speak them, and we're going to see the change. Amen? Amen. Unity in our faith, unity in our abiding, and knowing Jesus. I love Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. And I don't know if I gave this one to you, Ephraim, but that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's basically saying the same thing to the Ephesians that he said to the Philippians. We're studying Philippians, and it was a lot of the same. But guys, we will not know his love unless it's with all of us. Did you hear that? We may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width. It doesn't just say, just because you're in me. No, we need each other to understand how great his love is and to stay in abiding union with him. This is the year of abiding in him. Okay, so the second one, all this equipping will happen when we know that we abide and know Jesus, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Does that sound like it might be hard to do? Mature in the Lord. That's what a body is for us to mature. And guess what, guys? It doesn't say, and maybe you will measure up. No, it says measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Isn't that exciting? It's so exciting to me to know that I just have to remain in him, have to constantly hear him, and I will have fruit, and I will be mature. I will eventually mature. I will be mature. I've seen it happen in my life even now. I feel like Holy Spirit's been working on me with frustration, being frustrated. And I've told probably several of you this. I vacuum here. So I plug in over there, and I'll be vacuuming, and all of a sudden, click, it comes out. And I'll be like, oh! And the Holy Spirit asked me, why do you do that? And I said, I don't know. I think it's just a natural response I have. And what he began to show me is those responses are negative things in your life. They're, you know, I want to say negative frequencies. And he said, where your body is weak, those things can attach to it. So the more you can remain calm, or in self-control, the more power you will walk in, and the more healing. So I found this really interesting. I was sitting on the couch last night, bloop, up something came on my phone. I don't know how. Talked about a 115-year-old woman, and they asked her, what's the secret to being so healthy? She said, get rid of all the negative relationships in your life and negative thinking. I was like, okay, that's kind of weird how it just popped up on my phone. It is a little coincidence, right? But I thought, I was thinking about that, and I was like, that's what you're trying to show me. How about road rage? Who's got any road rage? Or grandkids? These are, my grandkids are a lot of fun. I'm learning how to just be calm. And I could tell you another story. I was cleaning the church, brought my two grandsons. And Zeke decided to take off on me. And I and Jace was helping me vacuum the foyer, so I was kind of letting him do that. And I was like, where did Zeke go? So I came in the hall, couldn't find him. And I said, Jace, I said, run around and see if you can find him. If he's in the, well, anyway, make a long story shorter. I go over to the solarium, and he's dumped out one of Elena's plants, and he has mud in his, two, because she just watered them. He has two hands, and he's at the top of the ramp, and he's dumping them on the floor. And I walked up to him, I was like, sit here. I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, because I was a little mad. There was black dirt, wet black dirt all over. So it's fun. But you know what? It's been amazing to be able to be like, it doesn't help to get angry, does it? Doesn't help to get mad at them. Might help to beat them, but no, I'm just kidding. No, but he knew. He sat in that chair, and he would look, and I'd be like, and he'd just be like, I'm not going to move. But I ended up having to clean. But just allowing the Holy Spirit to do you those simple things, driving, you know, it's amazing how he can mature you. That's why the abiding is so good. Because if you stay in him, you will start seeing changes in your physical body, being, mind, will, emotions. I don't like run-of-the-muck emotions. It's hard. And that's where I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, you live in me. You live in me. You can keep me in perfect peace. Or this perfect love that passes knowledge. I don't understand why you want me to do that, but you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And then you see, Jen had a great testimony of how she could have done something. And I was like, weren't you glad I chose the right? And she was like, it was. When you could have been so mad at that person, but she chose love. She chose love instead of ripping them apart. And it came to be a great testimony in that girl's life. The maturing process. In Matthew 21, 12 to 13, this is where Jesus cleanses the temple. And it's just something that he has showed me. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I know you might be wondering, what in the world is she talking about? God showed me that you are now the temple. Just remain in him. Be that house of prayer. Guess what? He's going to turn over the things that are trying to rob you from relationship with him. Don't worry about it. Just hang with him. You'll see things changing in your life. Just like he cursed the fig tree, because after this story, he goes out and he curses the fig tree, and it dies immediately, right? It shrivels up. I was like, God, curse in me anything that I don't want to have bear fruit again. You know, because like sometimes you're like, oh, that's just the way I am. I'm just an angry person. You know, and then sometimes Some people are more apt to being angry. But you know what? He can take care of that too. He can help you be the overcomer that you want. You don't have to worry about where you're at or what you think you should be doing. It doesn't matter. Just abide in Him. He is the ultimate transformer, the ultimate transfiguration. In some cases, you will be like, wow, I've changed so much. And that's who He is. See, as a body, if we can come together, if you come in these doors and you're not healthy, there is someone here who can help you walk through. This is the beauty of the body, the power of the body. Sometimes it might just take me hooking arms with Elena to be like, I need help walking through this, or I need accountability walking through this. Sometimes I think, like the church I grew up in, you had to be perfect and hide everything you did bad. And then what did you just do? You came and you felt guilty all the time. I felt guilty and condemnation all the time. That's not what this body is for. It's not what abiding in Him is all about. I think we're taking that for granted, the power that lies within you. Amen? Amen. There is provision for mistakes in Him. I love it. I love the Chosen. I loved it when Mary, I don't know if anybody's seen it or not, but Mary gets redeemed, set free from demons, and then she decides to go back out and mess up, right? Well, she comes back to Jesus, and she's all downtrodden. Like, I just, you know, you redeemed me, and I gave it up. And He goes, well, that wouldn't be much of a redemption, would it? And I was like, He redeemed her. Doesn't matter where she's at. Let's work on that. We can always work on that. How can I help you? How can I help you is what we should be. Oh, you do that? Well, you're not holy. And that's basically what they were saying to Jesus. Is your disciples aren't holy. They don't fast. Instead of being, hey, how can I help you through that? My mom was the best. We would struggle through something and she'd be like, how did that work out for you? I'm like, not so good. So what are you going to do different? Oh, that I like that. I'm going to do this because I don't want to go back and have that happen to me again. Maturing in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I speak that into your lives and into this church body and into the church of Christ. We're going to mature. We're going to mature and measure up to the full potential, the full fullness of God, the fullness of love, the fullness of joy, of peace. And then my last point is going to be, we will begin to see ourselves and others as the Father sees us. I loved it when Steve Crane got up, I don't know, maybe a month ago, right? Earlier this year, and he said, do you know you're an overcomer? Do you see yourself as an overcomer? And I was like, oh, do I see myself? You are an overcomer. Don't disqualify yourself by saying, no, I'm not. Don't disqualify yourself. You are. He's made you an overcomer. He's made you more than a conqueror. I loved what he was saying. Addiction is not too hard for him. Depression is not too hard for him. Fibromyalgia is not too hard for him. Trauma is not too hard for him. Let him love it right out of you. Let him kick the hell right out of you. Because that's what he does. He brings change. He destroys the work of the enemy. You're going to see yourself this year as he sees you. And I just wrote these few things. Wait, can I go back? No. You guys, you know what? There's a responsibility also that we have when we're maturing, because we have to take responsibility for our actions. But like I said, there is provision for mistakes. There's forgiveness. There's grace. But there is a responsibility. You can blow up at me, or I can blow up at you, but I'm going to clean up my mess and apologize and make it right. That's what happens in a family. There is a responsibility to resisting negative thoughts. There is a responsibility to not talk about your neighbor, your friend, your leader. I don't care if it's your enemy. If we can get rid of all negativity, let's go on a fast. It's a negativity fast. I thought it was interesting. Mark Verkler, talking about hearing the voice of God, he said he did a study as to how many of our thoughts, or if how many are negative. Do you know that he said in the Christian who he took the survey from, over 80% of our thoughts are negative? Over 80% of our thoughts are negative. I resist them. I recognize them. I'm starting to get better. I recognize it and I'll stop. I'll be like, nope, I'm not going there. There's a responsibility to guard our hearts, right? And then like when you get that little bit of bitterness, don't want that. Take the responsibility and guard your heart. Because in Ephesians 4, he talks about a lot of what we are, and I'm just going to read them to you. We speak the truth in love. We grow in every way more and more like Christ. We don't let unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. No unwholesome talk comes out of our mouths. Only words. Let my words, God, just be good and helpful to those that hear them. Isn't that powerful? We probably wouldn't talk so much. No, I'm just kidding. Being kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. That's who or what Ephesians 4 was saying that we are. Always humble and gentle, being patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Making every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. Now, this is who you are not. We don't lie. We don't let anger control us. And if we do get angry, we only have one day to make it right. Otherwise, what happens? We open the door to the enemy. Because he said, you have one day, get it right. Bitterness, rage, attitudes. Do you know that you do not have attitudes? Do you know that? You do not have an attitude. You have a responsibility. Nope, I'm not going to have an attitude about that. We're only going to speak words of life and are good and helpful to those that hear. No harsh words or slander. No frustration or judgment. You know, judgment has been the hardest thing for me lately. Because you don't realize how many judgments you make. Funny, because I was driving in the car with Bruce, and we were waiting at the stoplight, and all of a sudden he pulled out really fast, and he went into the far lane, and I was like, oh, well, Why would he do that? Okay, frustration for one. And I was making a judgment. Well, all of a sudden, whew, this car came. He must have saw it coming. So I'm trying, the Holy Spirit, I think, is trying to show me that if I will just wait and see, not make judgments on why somebody's doing something or why they haven't done something, because that's a big thing too, isn't it? A lot of things that can stop us in this life is what we think other people should be doing. Like, the leaders should be doing this. You know, the whatever, the song person should be singing this. That's not, you know, we get all hung up with all these, you know, well, if she wouldn't have got up there, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have left. Wow, she's really powerful. If she can cause the Holy Spirit to leave. But there's a lot of responsibilities, guys, in just laying down negative, resisting the negative. Okay, I think I beat that one to death. But we want to bloom. Like Tammy was saying, we're in bloom. I feel like there has never been so much love in this body than before. I don't know why I feel that, but I just think it's really neat to experience the different women that I've gotten to know and gotten to hang out with and be a part of their lives and hear their stories. You know what? Some of you have some really incredible stories of what God has done in your life, and it just changes you. So I wrote this, and this is kind of what I like to speak over myself, and I say, I am a child of God who is seated in heavenly places in Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, holy and blameless. This is who I am. This is how he sees me, and this is how I want to see myself and you. I am more than a conqueror because greater is he who lives in me. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because in him I live and move and have my being. His Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in me to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works in me for his glory. I am clothed with power to do greater works, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, to heal the sick, to destroy, to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, to destroy the works of the devil. Abide in him and he in me. He is always with me, and nothing can separate me from his love, which destroys all fear. I am fully loved, fully accepted, called and chosen by my Father. You know, when you have any insecurities, just hang out with Jesus. He's amazing. He's amazing what he does. And then the beauty of, if you do fall into your insecurity, the love of the people that are, oh no, don't think that way. You're so right, because that's not how he sees me. God is so good, and I'm just so excited for what he's going to do this year in this body and in his body. If you would all stand with me. God, I thank you for this body, for this people, for this family. Lord, I just ask that you would just stir in us the Holy Spirit and just let us be more aware of your presence in our life. Let us be more aware of the glory and the power and the joy that we walk in. Father, let us be more aware of the healing, the strength, and the deliverance that we bring when we are healed and whole because Jesus died on the cross and brought us salvation. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do through us this year, do through each life here, through each family here, through each of the extended family that's not here that is coming. In Jesus' name, we thank you for just your kingdom coming into every situation in our lives, into our workplaces, into our families, into our neighbors, into our city. I thank you, Lord, for how great you are, how your vision is way above all that we can ask or think. Lord, help us to see. Help us to see. Help us to see. Help give us a vision. God, help give us vision. Cause us to see us how you see us. Whew. I thank you. Help us to hear. Help us to hear. Holy Spirit, speak. Speak and woo us into that place, that secret place of you, where we remain strong and whole in you. I thank you, Father, for what you've given us. I thank you for the joy that you've given us, the strength, the love. Great is your love. Great is your love. I thank you, Lord. I bless your people. I bless them with your presence, with your tangible presence. I bless them with your favor, God. I pray they see your favor, your goodness in their life. May it overtake them and overwhelm them and cause them to be an overcomer in all that they do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.